Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. Oh, my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good evening, everyone. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Fathers, we come before you, we come in the name of the Lord, Lord Jesus Christ. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking for you to speak through this service this evening so that the words spoken were not mine, but they'll be yours and the Father's. We ask the Father to keep us according to his will and his way, so that everything will be looking to him and not to me nor mankind. Now keep us, Father, throughout the service, and once again, we give you praise, honor, and glory, and we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 16th chapter of Acts. We're going all through Acts. Some of these chapters have got a lot in it. Some don't have too awful much. But there is a lot to learn when we really stop and look. Because this is the book of the Bible, really, that lets us see the establishment of the church age and the early church and those men. Now, here in verse 1, he says, then came he to Derbe in Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. This Jew lady had married outside of the Jewish way and the Jewish religion, really, because she was now married to a Gentile. But you see, had taken Peter and Paul and all of those a while to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and what was expected. So now, Paul here, and he's traveling here in this chapter, he's met this Timothy, and he knows about his mother and his dad. He goes on here and says, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Says, him would Paul have to go forth with him. Paul's wanting to take Timothy now with him. And we all know, as they go on, Paul really considered Timothy as a spiritual son. We go on now, though, with verse 3. It says, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now, we've been talking a lot about all these Jews have been following Paul and all, and causing a lot of problems, telling people that they could not be saved without being circumcised. Well, it was known that Timothy had not been circumcised, and that his dad was a Greek. But Paul now was having him circumcised, not for religious purpose, but because he was going to be traveling with him among the Jews, and they would not accept him at all, knowing that his dad was a Greek and that he was not circumcised. Now, here in verse 4, says, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now they're spreading the gospel of the apostles. And this is what you and I are to teach today. When people ask you, what doctrine do you teach? You can't say none, because we do teach a doctrine. We teach the apostles' doctrine. That is the New Testament. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not to be ashamed of it, and to deny the existence of it, and to tell people, well, I don't teach no type of doctrine or nothing. But we do. And we're told to teach the apostles' doctrine. It states just that way. Now, here in verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. You see, our churches now, most of them are wanting to have one service a week, Sunday morning. And we have a few that we'll have Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And then we've got a few that will have three services a week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and usually a Wednesday. But you see, the church was set up to operate daily. It wasn't set up to operate two or three times a week. Because when we do that, we're spending more time with our own business and the things of this world than we are spending time with God. And that's not to be. But to get people to understand, because you see, they'll read things like that, but they just read over it. It don't sink in, but it tells them plainly. Right there in verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Not 2 or 3 times a week, but daily. And one we need, especially in our day and time, we need to get to the point of the church operating that way. Because time is growing short and getting shorter all the time. Until the Lord Jesus Christ one day will appear on a cloud and he will be shouting, come up here. He'll be calling the church, his church, those that are born again, children of Almighty God, out of this world and to be with him. And those that have died and went on, we're told will raise first. And then those that are alive will be changed in the twinkle of an eye from this heavenly body into that celestial body and go on to meet him in the air where he's at. And then we'll go with him and stay with him for a short period of time. And it will be just a short period of time until he comes back to this earth to set up his millennial reign. Will be when he sets up his kingdom here on this earth for 1,000 years. Think about it. And all that is with him will come back to this earth with him to work with him here on this earth for that 1,000 years. And then there's going to be another change made. And we all have read about what that's going to be. I'm not going to get into all that right now, because we will be getting into it, God willing, later on. But he tells us here now, Paul does, in verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Paraguay and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now, you see, we, and especially we that are called by God to teach his word, to preach and teach his word, we are to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because there's times, just like Paul here, Paul was wanting to go one direction, but the Spirit said no. Think about that. The Spirit said no. No. You see, after he had passed through all of the central part of Asia, Paul was tempting, he wanted to swing down through the southern province of Asia. But the Spirit, as we've seen right here, told him no. Well, then Paul was going to attempt to turn back. We find this here through the next, actually, four verses. No, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Where he was aiming to turn back through the northern province of Bithynia. But again, the Spirit stopped him. Why? Why would the Spirit stop him? Because, you see, that's not what God wanted of him. The Spirit then, he finally, after stopping him from going in two different directions, finally stopped and gave him the positive direction for which he had been preparing him to travel. Now, here in 7, after they were come to Messina, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. See, there's that other route. And the Spirit said no. Because, and there is a reason for it. And that's like, as he guides you and I, there's always a reason for what he is guiding us into. And what he even reveals to us as we study his word. And I think most of us have found out that if we will read God's word out loud, God talks to us a lot greater and a lot more, because he talks to us through his word as the Spirit reveals it, because we're bringing it out. You see, we are told to speak everything. We're to speak to our mountain. We're to speak the things of God. We are to speak the power. Not just think it, but to speak it. Now, verse 8. And they passing by, Messiah came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. You see, now the Spirit is letting all know exactly why he had been stopped from these other two ways. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You see, he wanted Paul in that special place. They were seeking for help. And that's God's way of helping. He uses man. And today, the reason we're having so much spiritual trouble in our land is because God is having trouble finding enough man to stand up and do what he asks them to do. They want to do it their own way. No. Without the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. But with them, we can do all things. We can be conquerors through them. But this is something that mankind is not wanting to hear today, and why it is getting so hard to really teach this gospel. Because in teaching it the way it is to be taught, which is God's way, and by letting the Spirit give you the words, you find that they mock you, they talk about you, they reject you, want nothing to do with you or with anything you say, because they want it their way. And we see it's not working. Right here in my home, within a 4-mile stretch, we've got 3 churches closed already. Completely closed down. And we've got 3 more that have services once in a while. They don't even have services every Sunday. Think about that. That's within a stretch of just 4 miles. The county in which we live, when you ride around this county, as I do a lot of times, because I have a lot of places to go, you will see very few churches in here in our county that is having more than 1 service a week. And they want to call themselves children of God. No. That won't work. Not according to God's word, it won't work. All right, now. They went to Macedonia. Now here in verse 11. It says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samaria, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. It don't say how many days, but they were there certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was brought to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now they're talking to the ladies here by this riverside place. 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto things which were spoken of Paul. You see, Thyatira was really known for its color of purple. We don't know why, but the Bible tells us that it was. It was known for that color of purple. And she made a lot of things with it and told it. But also, she was one that loved the Lord God. because it tells us there in 14 that her heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. You see, if we will follow the things of God, He has everything all planned out ahead of time. That's the reason we don't need to be ahead of Him. That don't work. And we don't need to drag late behind Him. We need to be moving as He moves us. I learned the hard way about dragging behind Him, because He wanted to give me a church at one time in my earlier ministries. He wanted to give me a church. Gave me the name of the church, the name of where it was at, and even the route to get there. You see, I was young. I didn't know enough, and I wasn't listening. I wasn't walking with the Spirit at the time as I should have been. And I told Him, yeah, Lord, I'll go. But I got this job I've got to finish. And it's going to be the end of the week before I can go. So I'm taking the next 3 weeks before I start on the trip that God told me to get up and go. And I finished that job. And I got in my vehicle, took off and went to where He told me to go. And when I got there, the day before I got there, they had hard a pasture. I was out of luck. It cost me another year and a half of preaching the gospel as an evangelist before God gave me another church. You see, we've got to move when He wants us to move. Now, verse 15. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She's having them come into her home to take care of them while they are there preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was God's way of having them taken care of. See, and it all been figured out beforehand. 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Soothsaying means witchcraft. That's what it was. Let me tell you something. There are real witches in the world. And we have a bunch not too far from where we live. Well, now, Pastor, just how do you know that? Because years back, in fact, about 35 years back, the good Lord sent me to another church right in the middle of them. In fact, outside of the church that he sent me to, the only other thing around was the witchcraft, the Catholic Church, and the denominational Church of Christ. I've seen the work of witches. I've had to deal with it. And I'm talking about the real. Not make-believe. Not just by word. I've been called out at midnight because of it. And I was called to a man's house because of it. Because his wife, their daughter, was using the daughter's baby in their rituals. And he called me to come and deal with that, which we did. And the Holy Spirit, the good Lord, took care of that. Got to that house and sat on the porch. Grandma sitting holding the baby. I walked up, took it out of her arms, walked out in the yard, held it up, dedicated it unto the Lord God. And for a long time, you couldn't get either one of them women to touch that baby. But it stopped them using it in their rituals. We need to pay attention to God's Word, study it slowly, and make sure as we study that the Holy Spirit is with us and we are actually getting the truth of it. Now, but this woman that we've been talking about here, that was doing all of this through soothsaying, as the Bible says, verse 17. Now, the same followed Paul and us, cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Well, you would think that that'd be all right, wouldn't you? You take just that verse there, you think, well, that'd be fine. She's telling everybody, really, what we're doing is that we are proclaiming the Word of God. But you see, that really wasn't what was going on. Verse 18, "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out the same hour." Now, he's calling this the demon out. But that's what it was. But it was calling him confusion. Although what it was saying was true. They were speaking truth then. But you see, Satan knows this word too. He knows this word better than you and I. But he's going to use it for his purpose. That's why we need to be very careful how we teach the word. Verse 19. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they called Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. You see, those, even back then, in the early church days, the one that was giving them all the trouble were your higher-ups. They were those that were in leadership and those that were leaders of the synagogues and things of that day, the priests and all, in 20. And both brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They're preaching the gospel, but because they had stopped her witchcraft and stopped their gain, a lot of their gain, now they're after them. They go on 21 and says, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. We're Romans and they're Jews, so we're not to receive what they're teaching. Yeah, at this time they were, because the early church had started, the church age had started, Pentecostal had come about, all had changed, and it was for all of mankind now, not just the Jewish people. Now, in 22, and the multitude rose up together against them. They stirred up now a multitude. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. They tore their robes and things off. And he's commanded them to be beat. And when they had laid many stripes, don't say how many, it says many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. But you see, when you are really a child of God, things that come against you don't tear you down. As long as you stay with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, which is what we are supposed to do. Now, they had beat them, put them in prison. Verse 24 says, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They've locked their feet now in socks, chained. They've been chained up so they can't get away. And they're in what they call the inner part of the prison. In 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners, the rest of the preachers, heard them. You see, the beating didn't stop them. Being in prison, in stocks, chained, is not stopping them. They're praying and singing praises to the Lord God. And you see, when you really get to the point that you are that child of God that you are supposed to be, and that you walk with that faith in Him, here's what happens. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. God has turned every one of them, all of them prisoners, could have left. Not just Paul and Silas, but they all could have left, which would have meant death for the guards. But here in 27, and the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He thought they were gone. He hadn't even went and checked, but he thought they were gone because the doors was open. Seeing them doors on the heap everywhere, they've done run off. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. We're all here. Now, verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. This is the keeper now. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He knew about their prayer. He knew of their songs. Now the doors had been opened. He didn't open. Their chains were off. He hadn't taken them off. But you see, things are getting to him now. He's wanting to know what he must do to be saved. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the words of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. Now this keeper is taking them and is actually taking care of them. It says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. When you do not let the things of this world that comes against you bother you, and you continue to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, things will happen. And a lot of things will happen, which is even hard for you yourself to believe. You know, we have all already read about Peter being taken care of and being turned loose by an angel of God. And it took him a while to realize that it was really happening. He thought it was a vision. But we need to always be looking to the Lord our God. Now, 34. And when he had brought them into his house He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He's become a believer now. This guard that didn't know, now he's become a believer. And you see, this is what God is needing today in our day and time here. As bad as things are getting, and they're going to get worse, much worse. We haven't seen anything yet. And the deeper and the more time you spend in God's Word, the more you're going to see what I'm saying is true. Most don't want to believe it. But God's Word is telling us. And we are seeing a lot of it right now taking place. This past week, look what happened. China sent a balloon across this country, our country, all the way across. They went in and come out down around the Carolinas into the Atlantic, and they finally shot it down there. But it was a balloon with equipment in it that was gathering all kinds of information, and actually they tracked it as it crossed and let it cross. Our government officials sat there and let it cross this country. And then had it shot down in the Atlantic. Knowing what it was, because come to find out, we have the same capability, and they had used it before, so they knew what it was capable of doing, and they let it do it. Right now, we don't know how much information, people don't, how much information China has got about our land. Now, 35, when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, let these men go. Now they're going to turn them loose. That ain't going to be as easy as they think either. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. Well, he's been saved and all. His house has been saved. They've all been baptized and all. He's told them to go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily. But let them come themselves and fetch us out. They're not even going to leave now, because they've been beaten. They wasn't condemned. They were just beaten, put in prison. And they are Romans too. Paul was a Roman citizen. Now, he was a Jew, but he was also a Roman citizen, which was against law for them to beat him without him being condemned. He's letting them know that there. Now, and the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. They've come themselves now to let them down, to get rid of them. That's really what they're wanting. They're really wanting to get rid of them because they're wanting them to leave the city. Verse 40, and we'll end with this tonight. They went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they confronted them and departed. They did finally leave there. But they made the magistrates and all the jailmen come to take them out. The Holy Spirit will take care of us if we will stand where God wants us standing. And if we'll not accept the things of this world, and we'll keep the things of the kingdom of God first in our lives. But we must keep him and his kingdom first in our lives. Then he will see that everything is set for us. Took me a long time to learn that. But it I finally learned. And it did. It took a long time. Because I was brought up in churches that didn't go into the depth of God's word. In fact, they taught a whole lot of things that was contrary to his word. Once saved, always saved. Just do anything you want to do. And just keep asking for forgiveness, and he'll just keep it up. Contrary to the word of Almighty God. Well, we're going to stop there for this evening. Get ready and close out, but before come Sunday morning, Brother Dennis is going to speak for us. And then I'll be speaking Sunday evening, God willing, if he don't come before. So keep things in mind. I'm not hard to get a hold of. If you have any questions, you want to talk to me, you can call 502-475-8559, and I will talk with you. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to be there for each other and to be able to get into your word, Father, to learn more of it and to walk with the Holy Spirit so that we can reach out to others, Father, that come across our paths and use us, Father, to work in the field of harvest. We're told that harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. Use us, Father, in great and mighty ways. Help us to help others. But help us, Father, to lift up praise, honor, and glory unto you. Because, Father, we do love you. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Holy Spirit. And, Father, we do love your word, and we love teaching. Now, Holy Spirit, saints in the world, wherever they are, keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace, Lord. Because, Father, we know that right now they have very little peace. But Father, we pray that they have peace of mind because they belong to you. Now, Father, for this land of ours, we pray that one day all of yours will come together as one and work together to remove from our government offices those that are against the church, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and against your people. And help us to replace them with those, Father, that belong to you, that will work with us. And help us to bring this land to repentance. And help us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list here, for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Terry Coates, for myself, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Sue and David Branson, Father, for our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, we ask the Holy Spirit to work in our families, Father. Help to turn them from the things of this world to the things of the Lord our God, so that none be lost and all will be able to make heaven their home. Help us all, Father, to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.